But it's wonderful to have you here, and I think this is probably, what is it, the fourth or the fifth combined prayer meeting that we've had, and they're always great times. And I know that if you come out on a Wednesday night that you have prayer on your heart, that you really believe that God still hears and answers prayer. And that's why we're here tonight. We've got two of our chaplains. We were hoping to have three, but one wasn't able to come. So we want to really uphold our chaplains tonight. We really believe in this ministry. Who knows what's going to happen in the next little while? We're going to pray for, I was going to say our government, but we don't have one, do we? But we'll pray that the Holy Spirit will really intervene in the hearts of the men and women that we've elected, and hopefully they can put something together that will be of benefit to our nation. Let's open in prayer. Father, thank you very, very much for the opportunity to come together from different churches in this southern part of Brisbane. I praise you, Lord, that tonight we know that you are in heaven watching over us. You're our loving Heavenly Father. You never go to sleep. And I thank you that you have encouraged us to come. In fact, you've told us to come boldly to your throne of grace. And I praise you, Father, that you made it possible for that to happen through the death of your precious Son on the cross. And I pray tonight that your Spirit will guide us and direct us in our praying as we think of our nation, as we pray for our various churches, and as we particularly pray for the chaplains and their vital ministry in the schools in this area. I pray, Lord, that tonight as we walk out of here, we'll be glad that we came, and we'll have that assurance in our hearts that you have heard our prayers, and that being here tonight has made a real difference. So we thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now I'd like to introduce Ken Chow, who is the worship leader, the worship team leader at Southside, and he's going to lead us for a few minutes in praise and worship.
All right. We need to sing louder than them. Can we do that? I'm actually really nervous because it's the first time I have seen so many people that I actually don't know. Oh, okay. Yeah, I know I'm safe, but still, it's daunting, actually. My name is Kenneth. Surname is Chow. You know, if you go to Chinese Takeaway, you got fried rice and fried noodle, you got Chow. That's my surname. So it's very easy to remember. All right, let's all stand.
How we praise you, Lord. We bless your holy name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the assurance that you are here by your Holy Spirit. And again, we pray that you'll lead us in our praying for Jesus' sake. Amen. Thanks, Andrew.
Well, it's my job to introduce everybody. So this is Roger Lang, from Southside International. If you haven't met Roger, welcome Roger to your own church, brother. My name's Andrew. I'm the senior pastor, senior minister at Sunnybank Uniting. And my wife Karen in the front. Daryl Evans from Sunnybank District Baptist. Okay, stand up. They want us to stand up so they can see you. See how cooperative they are. Trevor Adams from Anglican Church Sunnybank. Frank Phillips, where did he go? He was there. Oh, he's over there now, okay, from Elgister Anglican. And is Wayne here yet? Oh, there he is. He does stand up. He's well behaved. Wayne Brooker from ARG at Runcorn. We actually meet every week. Well, we try to meet every week. But we set Tuesday mornings from 8:30 to 9:30 aside to meet together. And if we get there on that Tuesday and we catch up with one of our brothers, we sit and have coffee at the coffee club. And we talk about ministry, we talk about what God's been doing in our churches, and we pray for each other. Some weeks there's two of us. This last week there was a five or six of us. So we should have a prayer meeting more often. Means we'd all get there at the same time. But we find that a great experience and a great opportunity just to reconnect with each other and to continue to support and encourage each other. And that's really what we seek to do and live out as churches in the area. We're very much on about supporting and encouraging each other. That's why we love prayer meetings like this. You know, sharing in each other's ministries, encouraging each other, not in competition, but to build the kingdom. So that's why we're here tonight, is to pray into that. And we're specifically going to be praying tonight about our chaplaincy ministry in the schools. I'm the, also chair of the LCC, and I'll share a little bit more about that with you later on. A local chaplaincy committee, sir. For those who don't know the acronyms, and I'll share a little bit about what's happening for the chaplaincy in a little while. But what we're going to do now is invite Gail. She's going to come and share a story. And I still can't see Amy. Is she in yet? She might have gone up to the worship service upstairs. So welcome, Gail. Gail's chaplain at Runcorn Heights State School. And she's got some actually really encouraging stuff to share. So over to Gail.
Yeah, just amazing things are happening. Like, I've been in the school now just over 2 years, and it's just amazing, just, like, the trust now that's happening, like, with the teachers, and even the parents are getting to know me more as well. And just amazing how, because I've had that connection now for that 2 years, just, you know, God's grace and, you know, and just amazing, amazing things are happening, just like parents just wanting to come and, you know, meet up with me in the, you know, my room, and just wanting to have a chat, and just even some of the teachers as well. You know, there's that trust factor. But there's I've just started it's a real testimony. I've started a girls program in the school. This is the first one in the school, and it was amazing. Just even before I started getting interest, it was filled within 2 days of advertising it. And then I had more girls, about another 8 girls wanting to do the program as well. And it's just amazing. It's, the girls program is called Sparkle, and it's similar to the high school program, which is called Shine for girls. And it's basically helping girls build their self-esteem, their self-confidence, and learning to accept themselves for who they are, and that they are beautiful, and that they're valued, and that they are worthy. So it's just amazing just what we can do over the 8-week period. And just in the second week, actually, of the program, we were looking at, you know, learning to love themselves and accepting them for who they are. And then what we did as an activity, I got them to list the things they loved about them or they liked about themselves, and then one thing that they would like to change. And with that, I actually brought, you know, once they shared what they wanted to change, I actually brought a box of chocolates, and I had a little encouraging note on the chocolate. So once they shared, I got to get them to pick out a chocolate, and it was just amazing. Just each one, that whatever they wanted to change, they picked out a chocolate, and it just related to what they wanted to change. It was just, I was just getting like, you just knew it was God, just, you know, moving in that situation. Like, I know one girl in particular, and she doesn't have a mum role model in her life, so she really looks up to me as a mum in the school, which is just, you know, just amazing. Anyway, and she's just like grabbing a hold of everything that I'm saying, and just to impart into her life. Anyway, she one of the things that she wanted to change was she wanted to be more awesome. Anyway, and she picks out a chocolate and it goes, "I am awesome." It's just these little things. And another girl, she wanted to, something she wanted to change was, "I want to be more special." And then she picks out a chocolate and it goes, "I am special." You know, these things just really related to these girls. And it was just like such a God moment in that time. And, you know, I still just like, overawed. I get all goosebumps and all that with it. But it's just, you know, God just imparting into their lives. And it's just amazing. And the girls just love it. And we're so looking forward to, you know, at the end where we're going to have like a high tea. We're going to have it with two other schools in the area, Cooper's Plains and Alchester. It's Acacia Ridge. And just combining with the other two girl groups that are happening at the moment and just having that high tea where they can have it with someone special like their mum or their daughter and just having that quality time together as well. So, yeah. And we thank you for Runcorn Church to, you know, make that available for us. So, yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. So, yeah, so great things are happening. Actually, I wasn't there at the PNC meeting one of the nights, but because they mentioned about the girls' program, a couple of parents saying, so when are you going to do a boys' program in the school? So they're really interested in what I'm doing in the school, and it's just making that, you know, I'm making inroads in the school, so that's just amazing what's happening. So, yeah, considering it was a little bit rough at the start, you know, things are going, oh, fantastic. And I really appreciate your prayers because it just means so much because we are on the front line and we're doing so much. Yeah.
Grow and to be healthy. And we get together and it's not our heart. None of us have a heart to get our church bigger at the expense of the other church. That's why we meet together and pray. Our enemy is the devil, not the church down the road. So what we want to do, and we got together and said, is anyone in our churches, do any of us get too much money in the offering of the Sunday? I asked that question last week. You might find this hard to believe, but no one put their hand up. We all have a vision bigger than our resources. So I want to pray for the resources of the church, because Jesus said this. He said, this harvest, the work you're going to do, is going to be so great. It's going to be so large, you're not going to have enough workers. So I'm telling you now, you've got to pray workers in. So that's what we want to do. We want to pray for workers in. We want to pray for finances in. There's a whole list of prayer requests up there. And what we want to do is get in groups of five. And for the next 8 minutes or so, do like tag team praying. Have you ever seen tag team wrestling? This is how tag team praying works. No one prays for too long. Just like 30, 40 seconds. But as soon as you stop, you tag out and the person beside you, they start praying for like 30, 40 seconds. And as soon as they stop, next one starts praying. And then the Bible says there's credible power when two or three people together and agree in my name. So when that person beside you is praying, you just agree with them. Go, yeah, Lord, I agree with that. That's prevailing prayer. And in the natural, the world would say, that's going to do nothing. But in heaven, it releases God's energy. It releases His Spirit, and it softens hearts up. So next time we're in church, that person that's been coming to church for 3 months, and they just fold their hands and go, I'm never going to commit their life to Christ. You heard their testimony. I don't know what happened, but I just found myself walking down the front, getting baptized. We heard in the Anglican church, all these adults are getting baptized, and we're just going, I need to get right with God. That's what happens when people pray. So let's just move all over here and get in groups of five, and not talk, let's just pray. And they'll just keep on rolling down these requests as we get going. And they're all over the place so we can read them while we're praying.
I want to share with you tonight from Philippians chapter 4, as I share with you something about the ministry of chaplaincy in the area and what God's been doing through that. In Philippians 4, Paul says this, chapter 13, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me, and I'm ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses me with inner strength. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. But it was right and commendable and noble that you contribute to my needs and share in my difficulties. And I know that you Philippians, you yourselves well know that in the early days of the gospel ministry, when I left Macedonia, no other church entered into partnership with me and opened their hearts to me like you did. And so I give credit to your account. For even in Thessalonica, you sent me contributions for my needs, not only once but for a second time. And so I'm eager to express my gratefulness for your gift. The reason I share that is that the chaplaincy ministry that we have wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the churches and people in the community that give to it. We have a budget of about $150,000 for five chaplains across five schools. We have Keith at Calamvale, he's full time, 5 days a week. So he does the whole of Calamvale Community College, which is close to 2,300 students. So it's a pretty large job. We have Gail, of course, who you heard at Runcorn Heights Primary. Gail is 3 days a week there at the moment, and we're looking to still fund our third day and growing the resources. The school has actually come on board with a little bit of that now. When we first started out, there was not too much commitment to contributing, but that's certainly turned around, and they're now starting to contribute and help with that. We have Amy Scott Brannigan, who's a new chaplain at Elchester Primary School. Elchester's been an interesting school in that when the chaplaincy started there through the government national chaplaincy program, essentially the school just wanted a social worker, and they thought this would be a cheap way to get another social worker in the school. The government was going to give 20 grand, and so they said, yeah, we want a chaplain, but they didn't particularly want anything Christian. So none of the spiritual stuff. And this was certainly becoming a bit of an issue, and so I went with our local district coordinator for the SU chaplaincy last week and met with the principal to renegotiate the chaplaincy program there. And we were absolutely blown away. We've been praying that God would do something. In that conversation, he actually asked us, is there any Christian resources for a lunchtime program, because the chaplain was wanting to do it and one of the teachers, which is a complete turnaround. Up until then, it was totally no way. So, you know, I believe God's gone before us in that, and that's just an opportunity for us now to actually enable the chaplains to do their work, to do the spiritual work that essentially they're there to do. So Amy's settled in there from Christmas, very new on the ground, but very passionate and a lot of potential. And so if you can pray particularly for her as she begins to establish programs, been early days for her, and also for training needs. She's starting to look for opportunities to do training. A lot of the other chaplains have been trained in things like Friends for Life, Fun Friends, a whole range of things. For Amy, she doesn't have any of that. She's got a great passionate heart and a lot of potential. So if you can pray particularly for her and her needs for training. We have Les, Runcorn Heights. Runcorn High, sorry. Les has been there for over 10 years. This year, the chaplaincy has actually supported Les more than it normally would out of our budget. As I think I shared last time, I may have shared with you, it was the dinner. The PNC over there got themselves in a bit of financial hassle by committing to some projects they didn't actually have funding for. And so chaplaincy support got dropped to the tune of close to $11,500, which is one day a week. And so the local chaplaincy committee thankfully had some reserves and have been able to carry Les through this year. So if you can pray for the PNC there, that in our conversations later on in the year, as we look at next year's budget, that they would be open again to contributing to that extra day for Les. It's currently 4 days. If you can also pray for Les and Joy, his wife, she's just had surgery, and that was unexpected, and just pray for her recuperation and recovery. The other exciting thing is Sharon over at Stretton is now 3 days a week upper campus, 1 day a week on the primary campus, so she's 4 days a week, and there's a real sense of transition happening there. The whole school at Stretton has a changeover of administration, which means their three principals, one at each campus and a head principal, have all gone, and they've got three new people in, which has meant a huge shift in culture and a huge change for Sharon, particularly, and the rest of the staff. And as you can imagine, because Sharon's not technically staff, she's a chaplain, supported by us and the LCC. She's had to try and negotiate her way through with the new principals in provision of chaplaincy ministry there. And there's some ups and downs happening there. So if you can pray for open relationships and some real clarity. One very exciting thing that's happened as a result of the networking of the chaplains, we meet once a month at an LCC meeting at our church at 7:30 in the morning for an hour and a half. That's allowed us to talk about how we do chaplaincy ministry together. There's a great support network that happens. Our LCC is probably one of the most effective LCCs in the state. When we talk to others across Queensland, a lot of chaplains don't even have LCCs in place. They might have a principal and one other person. We've got a team of probably 12 or more people now who support this ministry, and the chaplains actually support each other. So Amy, for example, has been working with Sharon, who's been mentoring her in the new role. Les is doing a guys program called Connect. It's a camping adventure-based program for guys at risk in high school. He's been working with Sharon to do Connect over on the Stretton campus for the guys. And Sharon and the girls, Gail, have been doing Shine, which is the teenage program like Gail was just talking about that she's doing. They've been doing it over at Runcorn High. And so there's been this cross-fertilisation of ministry and chaplaincy across the schools in this region. That doesn't happen elsewhere. And so we're actually breaking ground in the exercise of chaplaincy ministry in this region. Graham Perrott invited the chaplains actually to come and sit with him earlier in the year. He was so impressed when he came to one of our functions that he wanted to get them together and have a round table conference and say, what can I do to help you? And so he's put in place some processes for the chaplains to help them do better what they're already doing. He's one of the major supporters of chaplaincy now. He was totally against it at the beginning. Being a union official in the teaching profession, he thought it was like, no way, Jose, don't want anything to do with it, shouldn't be in the schools. Now he's our biggest advocate because he's seen the work of chaplaincy on the ground at the schools and the impact that that's had on young people. And he knows, from an economic perspective, every young child that we help is a family that we help, which means it's less cost in the long run for our community. Not just a blessing to the kids, but a blessing to the whole community. One other thing that's been really good is this year, both Les and Sharon have been thinking about what we do for grade 12s when they finish school and have their formal. You all know of the after formal parties they have, which is essentially they go to someone's house and they'll get drunk. That's their party after their formal. Les and Sharon talked and have planned put out to the grade 12s and the schools that they would run a mystery tour instead of their after formal parties. They thought they might get a take up of about 50% of the student body in grade 12. 100% of the students have committed to this. They have organised buses to pick them up after their formals at Stretton and Runcorn High. They have organised Laser Force. They've organised a breakfast at the Gold Coast. They've organised all of these activities throughout the whole evening through to midday the next day. They've got sponsorship from community groups, from PNC and other things, so it only costs the kids $80 each. That's quite an incredible feat, because if you can imagine how many grade 12s there'd be, probably at least 150 in each school, fully supervised and ticked off by the schools. So this year, for the first time, we won't have 150 grade 12s in each school going out and getting drunk after their formals. They'll actually be having a great time and celebrating. And they want it. You know? A far better time. But they wanted it. Yeah. But there was this, what we discovered was that all we needed to do was to offer these guys an alternative. And they've taken it up. And are really, really excited about it. So if you can pray for the planning and the preparation of that, if you want to support them and you can contribute to that, please do so. If you want to continue to support, the reason I read that scripture is that we are actually sowing into not only the ministry of these chaplains, but to the families and the groups that they minister to, and that we're also reaping the blessing of that. Every time I hear one of the stories of one of the chaplains and one of the lives that they've changed, is a reaping that I receive when I hear that. And that's why I'm in chaplaincy, and that's why I chair the LCC. It just blesses me out of my socks when I see these people touching other people's lives. So I really want to encourage you to continue to pray for them and support them and nurture them in that.
I think we'll change the program, and with all, we were going to have three chaplains. We've only had one come tonight, but with all of that great information, thanks Andrew, that was really excellent. Why don't we just get into other groups of five right now and just pray for all of those things for 10 or 15 minutes, and let's really uphold the chaplaincy ministry. Absolutely. Absolutely. I hear your cry. Do we know how many RE teachers we have in our region? There are some here tonight. Yeah. Okay, well, let's do that. We'll pray for the chaplains, for the RE teachers. Let's go to it. Different groups of five. Let's pray together.
And listen to me. I get a few minutes to share with you tonight, and Roger just told me not to take any longer than 40 minutes, so I don't want to disappoint Roger. I won't take any longer than 40 minutes. There's lots of passages out there in Scripture, and you've heard different ones tonight when it comes to the topic of prayer. I picked this one because the guy had a reputation for being a prayer warrior in the early church. He was a significant leader in the early church. And when he died, they discovered that he had calluses on his knees. And you know who that is, don't you? James. And he had a nickname. You got a nickname? James had a nickname. No, it wasn't Jim. His nickname was, he was known for something knees. Camel's knees. Because he developed calluses from kneeling in prayer. It's remarkable, isn't it? So I'm pretty much talking as Roger introduced tonight. I'm talking to the converted. If you're here tonight, it's because you've got a heart for prayer. And we need that certainly in all of our churches, don't we? That's what I want to finish with tonight anyway. This is out of James. And in this passage, a passage I'm sure that you've read many, many times, he mentions prayer 8 times. Just sort of pause out of him. Is anyone among you suffering? Should pray. Is anyone in good spirits? Should sing praises. Is anyone among you ill? They should call for the elders of the church, and they should pray for him, anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will make the sick one, the one who is sick, well, and the Lord will raise them up. If he's committed sins, they'll be forgiven. So confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great effectiveness. That's how this one's translated. I like the footnote when they say, or it could be translated, the fervent prayer of a righteous person is very powerful. That has more punch in it, doesn't it? The fervent prayer of a righteous person is very powerful. Elijah was a human just like us, and he prayed earnestly that it wouldn't rain, and there was no rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again, and the sky gave up the rain, and the land sprouted with a harvest. The fervent prayer of a righteous person is very powerful. There's a story told in Acts chapter 12 where James and Peter had been arrested, and James had been put to death, and Peter was next, and it must have been a public holiday, so they weren't going to do it until after the long weekend. And the church gathered together, it says in verse 5, and the church prayed to God earnestly for him.
And that story goes on and says how the Lord sent an angel and woke him up and delivered him. And it's a terrible passage. It's a great verse on prayer. The church prayed earnestly to God for him. Acts 12, verse 5. That's that earnestness again, that word which James mentions that now Acts mentions. And he gets delivered and he comes knocking on the door. You remember this story? And what are they doing? Inside praying. What were they praying? What do you think they were praying? For him to be delivered, I would imagine. And he gets delivered and they go, can't be him. Strange story, isn't it, that God gives us to encourage us, I think, that sometimes when we pray, sometimes God is delighted to answer our prayers even when our faith ain't strong. And Jesus said when it comes to the deal of faith, it's not how big it is anyway. The size of a mustard seed apparently will move mountains. So it's the God we believe in, not the faith that we possess. There was a guy by the name of Fraser who was a missionary to China. I wanted to share this story with you. You heard of him, James O. Fraser? Some of you would have. He was China Inland missionary. And he watched Hudson Taylor's replacement, whose name was D.E. Host. He watched his life as a missionary and how committed he was to prayer, and he was amazed by what God did through Host's life. And James Fraser made the commitment. I hereby commit myself to pray first, second and third priority in my life. The church will advance on its knees, is what he prayed. And he started to petition God. This is way back in the early 1900s, 1912, 1913, around there. He started to petition specifically for several hundred families from this tribe that he was ministering with, the Lisu. He was asking God specifically for hundreds of families. He prayed that way for a couple of years, and then he shared that with his prayer warriors, and then he got them to pray with them. So that's that Acts 12:5 verse. The church gathered together, united, and prayed to God earnestly for him. Specific. Just like we have tonight. We gathered together to pray specifically for our chaplains in schools, for RE teachers in schools, for the release of finances in our churches and community, for God to raise up labourers and pray specifically for things. And then when God answers it, we won't doubt that God has answered our prayer. 1912, 1913, he started praying this, James Fraser. Got his prayer warriors to pray with him. And then on 7 years later, 1922, on what could very well have been his last tour through this region, suddenly, family after family, so nothing for a while, maybe dribs and drabs, but then after 7 years of fervent, focused prayer, family after family, village after village, started to make public decisions to become Christians. How many did he pray for? How many families? Hundreds. 500 to 600 families representing something like 3,000 people formed the new instant church. God moves in response to prayer, doesn't he? John Wesley said, God does nothing in this world except in answer to prayer. James says, you have not because you... So we need to ask. We need to ask fervently and we need to ask specifically. Fraser went on to say that he saw this breakthrough coming as a result of spiritual warfare that had been waged on behalf of the Lisu people. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not against the governments of this world. It's not the principals in the schools. We should pray, and we have prayed tonight. We should continue to pray for them. But they're not the enemy, as Wayne reminded us. Our enemy is a spiritual enemy. We wrestle against what? Principalities and powers in the heavenly places. So it's on our knees, fervently seeking God. Then I came across this and I thought I'd finish with this. Can we sing that song that we sang before about Jesus, All for Jesus? We're going to sing that. Imagine this. Going down the road, and in the car or beside you, walking beside you, is an architect. And he points to a house as you walk along and chat with him. He says, see that house over there? That's one of my houses. I designed that. And the next day or the next week, you're walking down a similar location, and this time you're with a builder. And he says, and points to the same house. See that house over there? I built that. That's one of my houses. And then next week, next time, whatever, you're going down that street, and then you're walking with a person.